And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. What are we talking about? I'm talking about 8 hours till the trading deadline and about 12 hours before we can exhale and not worry about ridiculous wind knocking everything over today.
Yes, there is that that for sure. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. Everybody stay safe with all those winds out there. Going to be a stressful day for everyone.
Yep, going to be a little bit of bumpy weather today. I woke up this morning and got on Twitter, which is probably not the healthiest thing to do when you wake up in the morning, but that's what I do. And the first thing I saw was Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, like specifically highlighting Middle Tennessee in terms of like a wind/severe weather threat today. And I was like, oh, good. Jim Cantore's talking about us. That always ends well.
That's always a great sign.
I will say I was really happy that you guys were in studio today so I didn't have to be alone if a tornado hit.
As the building trembled. Yeah, yeah. Well, last night we got the call, and I just was oblivious to this. Got the call that like school is canceled today. And I'm like, and then for wind. I'm like, what? School canceled for wind?
Yeah.
These kids these days. But, yeah, now that I see what we might be looking at today, I get it.
Yeah, we're going to keep you updated throughout the day here on our station today. If things get hairy, we will keep you updated as best we can. Just keep your eye on the weather today. Sustained winds, and they were talking about this on Fox 17 News a minute ago. Just sustained winds could be around 20 to 40 miles an hour with gusts into the 60s, and you know that doesn't sound like a lot, but that'll blow some stuff around today, so we'll keep an eye on that. And of course, Joe, I was talking to you about it. I remember a radio show that we did 3 years ago today, yeah, which was about nothing but tornadoes. So hard to believe that was 3 years ago, but man, yeah, just keep your eye on the weather today.
Yeah, let's hope, you know, nothing like that. And charge everything, charge it all, because power outage is very possible today.
Absolutely. So we'll keep you updated on the weather throughout the show here today and throughout the day here on our station, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And just be weather aware today as you're traveling around out there. Could get a little hairy starting later this morning and into the afternoon as well. So we'll keep you updated on that front. The Nashville Predators last night, Joe, they get the win 2-1 against the Florida Panthers. Some young guns in the lineup last night, and they get it done. They kind of hold on last night and win 2-1. Kevin Lankinen in goal last night. Luke Evangelista records his first point, his first NHL point last night,
but
on an assist.
Goal.
Not a goal, but he did get his first point last night. Matt Duchene did score last night. Nobody in Preds picked a click yesterday, took John Leonard. Kind of shocked that didn't happen in Preds pick to click
big
yesterday.
Miss. Big missed opportunity.
But those are the goal scorers for the Preds, Duchene and Leonard, and they get the win last night. And look, I will say, I mean, the odds are not in their favor. I mean, I can go find the exact percentage on Money Puck, which I will do here in just a minute. But I will say, they won last night, and they're 6 points out of a playoff spot. Winnipeg's been fading a little bit, and they got two games in hand on the Jets. I'm just saying, they're still in a spot. They keep winning.
It'd be wild.
It would be very
good
to
see them
wild.
Actually make a run. But I tweeted out this. Did you see this Bedard thing I tweeted out? Or you probably
no.
saw it. Look at my. I tweeted out this Bedard video from, I'm assuming it was very recently, this ridiculous McDavid-like thing he was doing. And I was like,
he tends to do that.
The Preds are going to win. They're not going to have any shot at this.
I know.
Got to be the bottom 11, right? Bottom 11?
Yep. I'm seeing this video of Connor Bedard you're tweeting
They're
out.
They're going
now.
The wrong way. Yeah. I mean, it's like, what? Really?
He's pretty good.
Is that really? Yeah.
Turns out there may be some teams that want him.
So what? So let's say you're 11. If you're 11, what is your percentage chance of getting Connor Bedard? Like 1.9
like
or something like that?
Or something like that, yeah.
But still, there is a chance. You do have a ping pong ball in the mix.
Yeah.
Just imagine Connor, if the Predators won the lottery and got
Connor really
him and, according to you, Bryce Young. What?
Bryce Jones?
Or Bryce Jones, yeah.
Bryce Jones.
Bryce Harper.
All the Bryces ended up in Nashville, yes.
See, you tried to clown me and you clowned yourself, but that's all right. It's the first segment, Michelle.
I told you I'd find.
Oh yeah.
I told you I'd find the odds on Money Puck. I mean, what, a week and a half ago, the Predators were at like a 9% chance to make the playoffs. They're at 25.4% to make the playoffs.
How about that?
What do you think of that?
Well, look, there's that one thing about it is, first of all, I did think last night, I mean, they're fun to watch just because it's just new faces and different combinations. I think Cody Glass looks good. I think Tomasino looks good, too, by the way.
I do, too.
Tomasino's – I'm watching Tomasino and saying, I think he could have helped. I think he could have helped this year. But regardless, the pressure is completely off.
Oh, 1,000%.
Completely off.
Yeah.
And that matters. There's no more – I mean, there is not one person who's complaining when they lose any games the rest of the year.
No.
It's just, I mean, everybody's looking to the future. But in the meantime, they do still have some good hockey players. And you take that pressure off the psychology, that stuff matters. So I'm not ruling out some kind of a wacky little attempt here to get in.
They have a 0.6% chance to win the draft lottery, according to MoneyPuck.com, too.
So that's right now?
Right now.
Yeah. So if they were to go on a losing streak and actually be,
they bump that up
in position. But yeah,
let's put it to you this way: Columbus is the worst team in the league, and they lead the way with a 16.9% chance to win the draft lottery.
Yeah,
according to Money Puck.
And that, you know, the thing is, when you think of it that way, and you look at all these teams who are falling all over themselves for and I get it because I think he's one of those guys. I think he's going to be one of those guys.
Teams did the same thing with McDavid, right? Like they, you know, Buffalo fell all over themselves. Obviously, Edmonton did. Buffalo was the worst team, and they ended up not winning the draft lottery. Now they got Jack Eichel, who's a good player, really good player.
Not kind of McDavid.
Not kind of McDavid. A little bit of different.
Yeah, and yet being. Having the most cracks at it within the lottery is only 16%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, whew, man. That's why it's hard to anchor yourself to that strategy. If it works out in a particular year, well, it can be franchise changing, but how can you, like, really count on that? Now, granted, all these other teams who don't get them, they're going to get a good player in theory in the draft, but in the meantime, it wasn't much fun to get to that point.
Ty on the text line says, love watching the Preds last night. So much energy. They look fast. Lots of missed opportunities, but they got the win. This is from Ty last night. I mean,
so I'm saying everybody's just like, whatever happens, yay. They look good. They lost, but that's okay.
I mean, it's just a different feel to it. I mean, think about your view of this franchise last Friday before any of this happened. Like last Friday, think about the conversations we were having about this franchise and think about what it is now in the span of 1 week of time. It's pretty different. Like there's a lot of difference there.
Yeah.
Even with like beyond us, like talking about it, like the fan base, it just feels different with what they've done.
Well, there's this guy at the Athletic, a subscriber who comments all the time on I've talked about him before. It's Jeff D.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Jeff D. Like it doesn't matter. You could like write something about whatever, like UC Soros or a particular player or whatever. And the first comment will be him. When is Poyle being fired? You know what I mean? It's just like, when is everyone being fired? And he's, he had a comment like in the last couple of days, like, man, I'm renewing my season tickets. I'm so excited now.
Jeff, what's Jeff going D? On with you, man?
If you got Jeff D back on your side, you've done some work here, Preds.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I was watching them play last night, and you just start to, even subconsciously, you just view it a little bit different. I mean, Tyson Barrie came in there last night. He was playing with McDonough. You had John Leonard coming in there. You know, I've been watching Evangelista really closely the last couple of games. And look, I don't know that he's – I don't think that he's ready to be a full-time NHL player. I mean, we've talked about this. Like, I do think at some point he'll probably be sent back down to Milwaukee.
And
I
like
think
next year, probably Milwaukee?
No, like now. Like, I think at some point here in the next little bit, he'll probably be sent back down to Milwaukee. And then next year, he'll have a chance to make it out of camp. But I watch him play – and the instincts with the puck, just the, I don't know if moxie's the right word or fearlessness, whatever you want to put with it. There's just always been something about him that I've really liked in terms of just his demeanor and his approach to the game. And he got out there and he popped Malkin the other night and he's chirping Crosby. Like, That's not easy to do for a 20-year-old kid coming in there. Like, I think he's going to be pretty good. I'm not saying he's going to be like Patrick Kane, but I think he's going to be pretty good.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's been pretty consistent information on him. It's been ahead of schedule, and it probably speaks to what you're talking about. So some people just have it. Now, granted, sometimes it, like with quarterbacks, can be, you know, explained in certain ways.
Yeah.
As we've talked about this week. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you got to love what he did with Malkin there. And I think he's going to be – right now, you just don't know. Like, everybody hits a ceiling. You just don't know when it's going to be, you know?
Right.
I mean, he could still be a ways away from it. I don't know. But I think it's definitely trending toward he's going to be a guy we talk about a lot in the next few years in some pretty significant role for this team and you know, having a chance to produce.
Well, and I put stock into that. Like, you can't always go by the numbers, right? Like, especially when you're talking about young players. Like, there are plenty of examples that you can find of, like, Austin Watson was a first.
Destroying the lower
yeah,
levels.
Like Austin and, Watson yeah. was a first-round pick. I remember the line he used one time when, you know, he went through like a stretcher with the Predators where he had like a goal in like three straight games. And one thing he talked about, he's like, yeah, I used to be good. Like talking about like the way that he played. So you can't always go by the numbers. But like some of the numbers that Luke Evangelista has put up both in his last year of juniors and then now in his first year of pro hockey, like they're pretty darn good. Like they, when you start to compare some of the other guys that have put up those numbers – like, there are some names in there that'll make you, oh, okay. I mean, they're pretty darn good. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that he's going to be like a franchise-level player or anything like that. I think the Predators have a really good prospect in him.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah, and then it's, like you said, as a chance next year, one thing we don't know is just, like, what is next year's team? Is it, yeah. like, it's the year of youth and, like, then you're building toward the next year type thing? Or are they actually going to parlay some stuff this offseason? But I still think there's a pretty decent chance he still spends most of next year in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's just how it goes. You do want to make sure he's ready. I think the Tomasino thing this year, very debatable, and we debated the other side of it.
Yeah, we did.
But that is a thing. Like, don't go too early. You know, it's like I'm trying to – it's like the analogy of, like, the, you know, the egg, the chicken.
Yes.
You know, like, let it completely
– let that thing
yeah.
get in there and
yeah.
develop.
Exactly. You know, don't take it out of the oven too early.
There we go. 615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. It is NHL trade deadline day. Today, finally, we have made it until trade deadline day. What's left for the Nashville Predators? Could anything else be coming today? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It is NHL trading deadline day. Joe, we have made it to the day. We've been talking about March the 3rd for a while now here on the program, and March the 3rd has arrived. It is deadline day in the NHL. I think a possibility of being a extremely underwhelming trade deadline day in the NHL, there's not a whole lot of deals I think that are left to be made, although Pittsburgh continues to just do things. They have
Bonino
traded for Nick Bonino overnight, so bringing Bonino back to Pittsburgh. See how that goes.
They want the Bonino-Granlund bubble magic.
Why would you not?
To return to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You got Nick Bonino and Mikhail.
Did they ever
Granlund.
Play the line together? They probably did.
I'm sure they did at some point.
There,
yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'm sure that they did at some point. But hey, I mean.
I forgot Nick Bonino was in the league.
I'm just saying, Pittsburgh, they make the trade for Mikhail Granlund last night. And it's a nice grudge match last night between Mikhail Granlund and Tanner Janot down there in Tampa. And Pittsburgh wins 5-4 last night. I believe that game went to overtime. It did.
It's a big win. Hey, so far the Mikhail Granlund era is working out all right for the Panes. I'm just saying.
It is.
It's a pretty big win.
Well worth that second-round pick, and they're 1-0 so far since that trade.
I still can't believe that happened.
I can't either. But I say all that to say, like, a lot of moves have been made. Like Patrick Kane made his debut for the Rangers last night. Didn't go well for the Rangers, but he made his debut for the Rangers last night. Like you're looking around the league right now, and there's just not a ton left to do. A lot of teams have taken care of their business before the deadline. So, look, there will be some moves that happen today. I mean, it's not like it's just going to be a totally invisible trade deadline day today. But I do wonder, are there any big moves left in the NHL? And are the Predators done? I mean, they've been very active. I mean, you can, depending on who you ask, they've won the trade deadline so far this year. Is there any more coming for the Predators? Whether that's Fabro, whether that's Tyson Barrie, whether that's Ryan McDonough, Yuzi Soros, anybody else? Could anything else be coming today if you're the Nashville Predators? It's a very interesting question. I would not be surprised if there's another trade. I just don't really know who it's going to be.
Well, first of all, I know I had some fun, and I did think about it when I found out Lankanen was on the starter's crease.
I did think about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Emma Lingen, who actually, she put out a tweet, you know, kind of explaining, like, this is definitely the timing. Like, the timing here is that it would be Lankanen's start.
Yeah, but also, what fun is that?
Well, exactly. By the way, did you also see her tweet about postgame?
No.
Okay, I'll read it to you. It's pretty funny. Because, you know, obviously Tyson Barrie makes his debut, so this is Emma's tweet. Tyson Barrie, coming from a big Canadian hockey market, appeared very relieved to learn that the Preds media contingent on the road consists of, well, me.
Yeah. There's that.
Tyson Barrie's like, is it? Oh, this is it? Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Good. We're all good.
One person. All right. Okay, all right.
I can handle that.
Meanwhile, you got Ekholm over there in Edmonton. Did you see what his wife said?
No.
Like they're thrilled. Finally, I think she said the term like proper like winter, you know, whatever. Like the kids can ski now. Like,
yeah, she's really excited about
skiing. I feel
so
betrayed in Nashville by the Ekholms. Yeah. Like excited to go to Edmonton.
Who wouldn't be?
But I guess.
Sure, it's lovely up there.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you're from Sweden,
yeah,
there's something a little bit more hearkening back to home if you go up there. So congrats.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite the change of scenery.
There really is nothing cuter than little kids with skis on, so
well,
I support it.
There you go. There is that.
That's a fair point. So, first of all, I still think Fabro gets traded today.
I think there's a good chance.
Is there, you know, there's the Duchesne fantasy not happening. McDonough, someone looking at him and he approves it. I'd be surprised, right? I think McDonough's here. You've got Foot here now. Carrier is going to be part of their plans. So Lauzon is part of their plans, right? I mean, he's speaking of second round picks. So I think Fabro gets moved today, and probably not for much of a return. Is there any inkling of a percentage chance that there's anybody out there who, as we've talked about, is looking at Juuse Saros and thinking, he's how we win a championship, and we can make it work?
I don't think so. Like, the one team that came to mind there was L.A. for a little while, and they've made a goaltending move. Now, they've not brought in anybody as good as Juuse Saros, but they've made a goaltending move. I don't know. At this point, it just kind of feels like, number one, I don't know that the value will be there in terms of what you're looking for if you're trading Juuse Saros right now.
It'd have to be massive.
And I don't know that anybody's prepared to do that. And also, I think if you waited – and let me just throw this out there. I have no idea if the Predators have any interest whatsoever in trading Juuse Saros. They may not right now. But if they did, I do think that your options open up a little bit in the offseason based on teams that – they know what their expiring contracts are. They know what their plan is going to be in terms of attacking the goaltending position there. And maybe there's more options in the offseason than there would be right now. Like, right now kind of feels set to me.
I agree. It would just have to be someone who's like, okay, here's the farm.
Right.
And I don't think that they have an appetite for it anyway. That's the sense I get. And here's another thing. Like, are they thinking about – actually doing, like, the rather than just use all the picks and fill the farm system with prospects and all that, are they actually thinking about, okay, now let's take this and do something and be good next year? If that's the case, then you're keeping Saros. Like, he's your goaltender. Askarov is not ready to be your goaltender.
Exactly. And I've heard a lot of the Askarov talk. You and I have brought this up. Like, to me, he needs to be in Milwaukee again next year. Like, the idea of him being your backup goaltender, I think is counterproductive. Like, you need him to play.
Did you watch Lincoln? I mean the Lincoln dude last night?
He's had an unbelievable year.
Lincoln is flat out the most pleasant surprise on the Nashville Predators to me. For me, I guess I would probably go Cody Glass after that.
Yeah.
But Lincoln, think about when they signed him last year.
Well, he's playing well enough where he may not be here next year.
That's like, true.
You know, I don't know that somebody's going to take a chance on him to be a starter. I don't know. But that conversation to me was laughable heading into the year, and now I'm like, well, there's a bad team out there that needs a goalie. Like, he's played well enough this year where I'd consider it. I mean, his numbers are off the charts.
Yeah. It's look, it's another – since it's now David Poile is now the number one GM in the league in the power rankings.
Yes.
Go back to last year when they signed him. I mean, they obviously had some information we didn't have, because not just the traditional numbers, all the underlying numbers were terrible with Lincoln.
It's awful. Yeah.
Apparently there's some limitations to those numbers. I'm not putting them in the Pro Football Focus category, but the Preds knew something, and, man, has he been good.
And look, I'm with you. Like, I think there's a good chance that Favreau gets moved today. But they also don't have to do it today.
Right.
That's the thing about their situation that was kind of unique heading into this deadline anyway. They didn't have anybody on an expiring contract. Like, nobody that you're worried about was on an expiring contract in terms of being unrestricted. Like, Tanner Janot's contract was coming up, but he was restricted. You controlled his rights. Like, Fabro's contract's coming up, but he's restricted. You control his rights. Like, there's nobody that's a UFA that you're just panicking about trying to get flipped if you're the Predator. So, like, they don't have to do it today with Favreau if they don't like what's out there. Now, I don't know how much the value is really going to change for Favreau moving forward. Like, to me, if you're trading him, you're not getting a whole lot back for him. I mean, I guess you can call Pittsburgh. Say, hey, you guys want a third-rounder, maybe?
Listen, this kid, yeah, and talk him up.
Yeah, but he's, to me, the most likely person to be moved today. I've thought a lot about McDonough, and I still – like, I don't think that Ryan McDonough, like, he's a pro's pro. He's going to show up. He's going to play. He's going to be a good leader. He's going to do all those things. But I do think, like, behind closed doors, there's got to be, if you're him, some sort of, like, all right, well, like, what are we doing here? Because I have no interest in going through a rebuild.
Well, for sure. So he's an example of, remember we had Poile on a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, have you talked to some of the veterans about the direction and stuff? And he said that they had to have some conversations. And if you're McDonough, what you're hoping is, okay, you've got a lot of draft capital. I got 2 years left on my deal here. Let's do something to try to at least be a playoff team next year. Now, again, it's really interesting because you don't want to overstep on that. And then
he's got 3 years left.
He's got 3 years left after this?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I guess I didn't realize that.
It's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, he has no appetite for painful years ahead.
No.
I mean, to me, he, I think, probably steps into the leadership group and everything now with this team, but he wants it to be good. He'd be voting heavily for, okay, now let's spend some picks.
Yeah, absolutely. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation. It is NHL trading deadline day. Could the Predators make any more moves today? If so, who could it be? We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we discussed earlier the weather that's moving into our area today. We flipped on the Weather Channel, and Jim Cantore is doing a live shot outside Bridgestone Arena, so that's good.
The Grim Reaper. Go away, man.
Jim.
It just follows him. He's a magnet.
Jim, go somewhere else, my friend. Big fan of you, but my goodness. But
maybe go up into Kentucky. Anybody hit Kentucky?
He's just standing right outside of Bridgestone Arena. I was like, oh, no. Jim Cantore's right in the heart of Nashville.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not good. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Today is NHL trading deadline day. And an interesting question on the text line. We've talked about the cap space that the Predators have created, and not only the cap space, but the draft capital as well that is out there. And a question from an unnamed texter, actually it's from Cam on the text line, which restricted free agent would be worth the Preds putting in an offer sheet on? And we've talked about the offer sheet part of this. Like, that doesn't happen a whole lot in the NHL. But the Predators, I think, have positioned themselves where you could at least think about it in terms of the draft compensation. Yeah,
you got draft capital
that comes on with that. Now, a lot of teams around the league, one of the reasons you don't see an offer sheet happen a whole lot is because it creates a lot of hard feelings out there when that happens in the NHL. But
these guys are too nice to each other. You know what?
I agree.
Be like, ruthless, Barry Trotz.
I wouldn't really care. Like, if there's a guy that you think you can go get, you can give it a shot. Now, I'm looking at the restricted free agents right now. That would be, I guess, offer sheet eligible. There's DeBrincat in Ottawa. There's Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's in Winnipeg, which is a very interesting situation there because I don't know that he's going to be re-signing in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
There's Lafreniere in New York. I mean,
there's
quite a few guys. Zegras that you could take a look at, too, in Anaheim. Now, the question is, how much money, like, that's the thing about the offer sheet, is if you sign a player to an offer sheet, number one, you got to be prepared to pay whatever contract you're signing him to. And number two, I mean, we've seen this happen before, i.e. Shea Weber. The Flyers signed him to an offer sheet, mm-hmm. and then the Predators matched it, and then that's the contract for that team. So just because you sign somebody to an offer sheet doesn't mean you're going to get them, but you need to be selective about who that is because, number one, you need to be able to pay the price that is going to be paid, if that's the case, which typically involves overpaying somebody. And number two, if you get it, you better be prepared to handle the draft capital price that comes with it as well. Like, I'm thinking back to the Shea Weber one, and I want to say, and this is not going to be totally accurate because it's a long time ago, and I need to go back and look this up, but, like, had the Predators not matched it, I mean, they would have gotten a ton, a lot of picks coming back the other way.
At that time, how much discussion was there about? I mean, it was purely like, oh my God, no way Shea Weber can be let go, right?
It was, oh my God, no way Shea Weber can be let go, and can the Predators do it? Like the contracts were different back then. Like, you could front load them, and the Flyers, I mean, they front loaded the heck out of that thing, which is why, like, every July 1st, Shea Weber got like a $7.8 million signing bonus Every July was a good time for Shea Weber for a long stretch of time.
It's like Bobby Bonilla Day.
Like, all right, let's go check the bank account today. It's good stuff. But it was a different time back then. There are a couple of guys that are interesting in the restricted free agent land. Now, having said that, I don't know that any of them are that, like, franchise-changing, you know, player that you're thinking about. Like, I think there's a lot of good players. Like Trevor Zegras, for instance. I think he's really good. I think he's young. You know, I don't know that he's, you know, Connor McDavid or anything like that.
No, but it's still somebody who could be a key cog.
Exciting, tell you that.
You'd have a chance there to be pretty good pretty quickly. By the way, the Preds would have received the Flyers' next four first-round picks.
That's what it was, yeah.
God.
I'm just saying, like, there's a price that comes with the offer sheet part of it, too, that, you know, and a lot of that's depending on the salary of the person that you're playing. Like, there's different tiers to it. It's not like anybody you sign to an offer sheet, you're losing four first-round
picks.
Right,
it's actually based on the situation.
Right, but I'm just saying, there's an option that is now there for the Predators that I'm not sure was there before. Uncle Fingus on the text line says, are the Preds going to have to overpay for free agents now? Since everyone knows we're rebuilding and not many players want to be involved in that. This from Uncle Fingus on the text line. Well, I mean, I think you could spin it if you're the Predators as we're not rebuilding.
Right.
Like that may be the route they want to go. I don't know.
We're just changing.
Right.
We're changing quickly. And we need, you know, I'm talking as if I'm the Preds. We need you know, veterans right now, and we're going to win next year. And that's what you tell them.
Right.
Now, they may not believe you.
Well, they may not. And, look, that may be the Predators' approach. I don't know. I mean, David Poile talked about it on our show a couple of days ago that he does not want the Predators to get into a cycle where they're missing the playoffs for an extended period of time. He said he wants to rebound quickly if they miss the playoffs this year. And I know the initial response to that is, well, David Poyle's not going to be the general manager anymore. He did say in that same comment that, you know, Barry Trotz shares that vision. So what does that mean in terms of what their approach is going to be this offseason? I don't know. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have to just go all in this offseason and use every bit of cap space that they've now created. But I can't imagine, just knowing Barry Trotz the way that I do, like, I can't imagine that he's really all that excited for, like, a five-year rebuild. Like, it doesn't line up to me with him.
No, I don't think anybody over there who has any stake in that team would be interested. We've talked so much before when we were wondering if the Preds would ever sell about ownership, and I mean, look, the point still stands, right? I mean, I hear from fans about their ticket prices and about how resale, and they never come close to recouping and all that stuff. And so everyone on that end of things, I'm sure, wants this to be real quick.
Rob on the text line says, they need to trade Barry today. Tyson Barry. He has not looked good as a Pred.
Dang.
0 points so far, and I just don't feel like that project is working. Well done, Rob.
Good job, Rob. For a minute, I thought you were serious.
Wait, so did I. I almost chimed in.
I'm very gullible. No, I know. I'm gullible. I'm always getting trolled on there and not catching the sarcasm. You need a sarcasm button.
Got a text that says, was watching the game last night thinking there's no need to fully rebuild. The vets looked good leading the young guys last night. Now, look.
You want to contend, though.
You want to contend. Look, I think the Predators deserve credit. Like, I thought they played hard Tuesday night against Pittsburgh, and they looked okay. And then it got away from there in the third period. Last night, you got the win. Now, they were holding on, which I think you're going to see that a lot moving down the stretch here. Like, I think this is going to be – like, it's going to be a struggle to win games. Like, I think you expect that when you take away Nino Niederreiter, Tanner Janot, Matthias Ekholm, and Mikael Granlund away from the lineup. And, oh, by the way, Ryan Johansson's out with an injury, and Philip Forsberg's out with an injury. Like, it's going to be – like, Forsberg's going to be back at some point relatively soon, but, like, I just – it's going to be a battle to win games coming down the stretch here, which, you know, maybe that's what you want if you're the Predators, but, like, this idea that they're going to just be better coming down the stretch here, I don't think so.
What percentage of fans are rooting for them to win versus lose right now? I mean, everybody's happy about the trades. Everybody's happy about being able to see some young guys play. But how's that breakdown?
I do think a lot of Predators fans want at least a shot at Bedard.
Yeah.
However small that shot is, like, I think they want at least a shot at Bedard.
And I'm with them. To me, this is one of those rare occasions where it's acceptable to root against your team.
Yeah. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. You may have already touched on this, and if you have, I apologize, but what do you think they should do with Matt Duchene, and do you think that anybody would ultimately take him? I don't think anybody would. I think it's going to be a very difficult contract to move, so if he stays there, how would you use him, and how do you think they'll use him?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, right now, like, I don't think there's any way they can move it today. I there's too much cap space there, and there's too much term left on that contract, and the production just doesn't quite match up with that. I just don't think at his age they're going to be able to move it today. Now, look, you can get a little bit more creative in the offseason, and I will say, I think you and I would agree, we watch him play this year, and it's not the same as it was a year ago. Now, he's quietly putting together, you know, a pretty good run here of points, and all of a sudden you look at it, and it's 50 points in 58 games, and you're like, huh?
He's
going to end up being – by the time this season's done, he's going to end up right around where he normally is, which is around 65, 70 points. And if you end up with 65, 70 points – then you can at least maybe try to sell it to somebody as, all right, he had a 43-goal season, and he put up 70 points last year. What do you think? It's not impossible, is what I'm saying.
I mean, he's one of those guys, too. Like McDonough, he didn't have any appetite for
– no.
For I don't know. I think today it's – hey, Ron, hey, have you thought about the chemistry you could have with Duchene and Sid? I mean, think about that.
Or, I mean, have you thought about what the third line could look like for you guys with Bonino, Granlund, and Duchesne?
Oh, my gosh. Bring back the magic. I mean, what do you say, Ron?
Just give us a call. We'll see what happens.
We'll take nothing, Ron. We'll take nothing back.
Or if you want to give us another second-round pick, we'll do that, too.
Or that.
We'll do that, too. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You're going to take mine this week, and I just already know it.
I don't know. I may not. Actually, you might be okay. I really appreciate you guys letting me go first on this, even though you screw me over all the time on Preds Pick to Collect. And it's a conspiracy against me.
I literally had the first pick yesterday.
This is
no, you didn't. 2 days ago.
No. Yeah, see? It's like once out of every 17 times you get the first pick. But that's okay, because I like to go first with this. And this is one of those weeks that I really appreciate it, because it's just very obvious stuff. But I'm just going to take it. First of all, the best is definitely the Preds. Poile, Trotz, trades, winning the trading deadline, all of it. And it's like the completely different feeling around the Nashville Predators. Who knows where it will lead, if they will make proper use of all of these opportunities, if they'll be really good anytime soon, if they'll actually contend anytime soon. But there's hope, and there's a new direction, and there are possibilities. And the middle ground where they had been stuck, it had gone so far past stale. So kudos to David Poile for making the decision to retire. I don't know how Barry Trotz is going to work out, but I think that you're talking about a really smart, experienced guy who knows people really well, obviously is a fantastic coach, and it's going to be fascinating. That's an easy best. An easy worst is the NFL Scouting Combine, which is a big load of poop. It's the biggest load of crap in sports. It's garbage. Just garbage. And I was offended to have to be there for a day. Or 2 days or whatever, and I'm so glad to be the hell out of there. Go away, NFL Scouting Combine. I mean, look, Dan Campbell, we got to try to get him on sometime. He said something the other day like, yeah, it's watching game film, and guys running around in pajamas. And everybody makes these comments, and I know some years you'll have the Seattle receiver, AJ's teammate.
DK Metcalf?
Thank you. You'll have a DK Metcalf testing, and everybody goes nuts. And everybody reminds you, we've seen a lot of incredible testing that haven't led to anything in the NFL. And he turned out, look, he's a good player.
Yeah.
By the way, tested way better than A.J. Brown, his teammate, who is a much better player.
Yes.
But regardless, there's some value in the testing. There's certainly value for the teams in the interviews. All the reporters get to crowd around everybody in the league and ask them questions. It's a big load of poop. That's it.
Very nicely done. Michelle, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, thank you, Joe. You did not take mine this morning, so that's great.
I knew you were doing something on hoops.
Yes, I am. Okay, worst in sports for a second. Earlier this week, Zakai Ziegler goes down, ACL out for the season, and then Liam Robbins the other night in Rupp Arena. Don't fully know his status, but I know Jerry Stackhouse alluded to it in the post-game radio hit that he probably won't be back.
Real quick, you guys have him on today, right?
We do have him on. Yes.
Scoop on your show today.
Okay, yeah, 9:30 to listen. It just sucks, right? I mean, both of those guys play such a huge role. You never like to see either team go down or have somebody go down with an injury, but especially us covering these teams closely, the SEC tournament's here in Nashville next week. Both teams really surging, and to lose two important players like Ziegler and Liam Robbins, it just sucks to see for both of those teams. But on the flip side, my best in sports is that the SEC tournament is here in Nashville in just a couple days on Wednesday. I'll practically be living at Bridgestone Arena. I'll be attending every single game. I am so excited. College hoops, March, it is just the best time of the year, and I'm just so excited. So everybody get hype.
I'm with you, and I need to take a picture of you and Matt Jones together.
Don't
wear UK pajamas like he will on press row.
No.
You, Matt Jones, and Bryce Jones all there together in one photo.
Did you see he tweeted about the SEC tournament and totally spelled it wrong?
Oh, I saw it.
Just in all caps. Joe, come on.
No. He spelled tournament wrong?
No, let's just say that there was no...
Did
not spell SEC. I'll put it that way.
What? Okay. In fact, I think I did see that. Was that intentional?
I don't know.
They are right next to each other on the keyboard, so I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I will say the fact that you just said, oh, he spelled tournament wrong.
Nope. Got that part of it right. All right. My best and worst things in sports. You know, I try to refrain from being ugly on the program too often, but I will say my best thing in sports, without a shadow of a doubt, when I saw this yesterday, I got very excited. Did you see the NFL announced that Jerome Boger is retiring officiating in the league? And my first thought was, oh, thank God. No more Jerome Boger games that we have to watch out there. And I'm sure that Jerome Boger is a very nice person, but how many times did we watch – a Jerome Boger-led officiating crew, and think to myself, what are you guys doing out there? You're just terrible. So Jerome Boger retiring, I'm all for, man.
I don't want to throw too much cold water on this, but, like, can all the other people in the crew retire too?
Because
it's not just him.
I'm just saying. The Jerome Boger retirement was met with thunderous applause yesterday around the league.
Yes.
So that is my best thing in sports. And my worst thing in sports, I'm with you, Joe, but I would take it one step further, like specifically the NFL combine drills. Like, the amount of people who care about this stuff is just mind-boggling to me. Like, I understand that you want to have your baseline of measurables and all these different things, but every year I'm blown away by, like, how many people are, like, hanging on every single drill that these people do. And I'm like, guys, come on, man. I know it's football, but let's get a little bit of a life here. Come on. What are we doing?
I love football.
I do too.
I hate all this crap.
It's the ultimate job interview, kind of, in your underwear.
Right. And no, who wants to watch it? Like, show me. Again, it's like, I don't want to see the cow slaughtered. I want the filet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty
absurd.
Morbid. Sorry. But it's 6 o'clock hour still.
It's been the best and worst things in sports. A lot of your thoughts on the text line, ranging from Jerome Boger to the Florida Athletic Department. There's a lot going on the text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. We'll continue to take your submissions, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL Combine, the Titans, the plan moving forward, and the Nashville Predators as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.